This week's Torah Ways Beat sponsored Lefur Shlema Shel Sorachaya Basplima Freedom Basplima Freedom Mariam.
Mariam.
Vav Tevis, 4th of January, Rabbi Aaron Lopiansky, Chinuch Brunit Barong the Torah.
Speak today about an important yesod in Torah. It's something that is fundamental to understanding a lot of the parshas in Torah in terms of what we learn from it and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with us. And it's based on a machlokas Ibn Ezra and Ramban. When the Pesukim give you the numbers of how many Jews went down to Mitzrayim, how many Nefashos, there's a question that the short one, and Chazal tell us that Yochevet was born Bein HaHomos. That's how Chazal explained. Ibn Ezra is, Ibn Ezra strongly speaks about this not being the Shat in the Pasuk. And for those of you who are familiar, Ibn Ezra tends to be very, very sharp. He tends to be, explain a sheet of his, very fundamental sheet of his, is that besides Chazal of the Emes, but there is a very important aspect of Torah called Pshuta Shemikra, and we need to learn the Pshat. And his main point is as follows. If it's true that Yocheved was so old, she was born Bein HaHomos, it makes her very old when she had Moshe Rabbeinu, much older than Sori Meinu. And in that case, the Torah says nothing about it. Here you have a full-blown miracle competing with Sori Meinu's miracle, and the Torah says nothing about it. That's incredible. And therefore, he says it's not Pshat Mikra, and he learns Pshat. That's the Ibn Ezra. The Ramban, as in many places, he argues very sharply with Ibn Ezra. And by the way, parenthetically, I think one of the important things when we learn Rishonim, like Ramban, is we see how machlokas can be sharp and yet with full respect. The Ramban has tremendous regard for Ibn Ezra and the Rambam, even though he differs very, very sharply with them, and he's very expressive at different sharply. And you see that there is a possibility of the Sheikh Shemayim to differ sharply and yet to have to, with all the covet of that person. So the Ibn Ezra says, the Ramban says that Ibn Ezra is absolutely wrong. And he uses a very sharp lashon. He says, you know, Evan Zoh Roteach Yutzak Bepil Sechachem. The words mean, it's from a Gemara, I will pour molten gold down his mouth. In other words, I very, very strongly refute him. His basic point is that if you work out the generations between Yaakov and Yocheved, and so on, no matter what, people there are going to be very old. Because the amount of years altogether add up in a way that if you split them up, you're still going to have people that are as old as Sarah, just about as old, and it still would be an incredible nace. So basically, he says that Ibn Ezra's question is not answerable, l'shitaso, one. Two, Ramban makes a second point of Pshat, that really the age that's old or old enough to bear children is a percentage of the age. So if the others reached 175, 135, whatever, it's not something that, we don't say that they were very old men from the age of 80, 90 until they were till 100 years, but basically there's a proportion. Once you take that proportion into account, it's not such a nace, not a nace at all. And he explains why by Sori Meinu the nace was based on the fact that she couldn't have children, not that she was so old and so on. But the Ramban makes a point. So the Ramban says, so why doesn't the Torah mention it? The Ramban has to address the same point. I mean, Sori Meinu's nace is made a big deal about it. And this is, so the Ramban says over here like this, I will tell you something that's a very fundamental and clear truth in Torah. Ki hanisim hanasim al de novi shenisnavi kemitchila, a nes that will be made by a prophet who predicts it in advance, or a malach, nigla malchus Hashem, or a malach comes down and says, this is what's going to happen, yaskirim akosav. The pasuk mentions it. Vanasim elehem, lazav tzadik lachzosha, leskirim ta'anavim. A nes that happens to be, and it was a Kadosh Baruch Hu does a miracle, but it's not spoken of beforehand, that's not mentioned. That's the expression I mentioned before. Now, he adds a rationale for this. And he says, why should the Pasuk mention it? All the Yesodos of the Torah are Nisim Nistarim. And V'ima Torah ein b'chol inyon rak Nisim l'tev lo minhag. It says the entire Torah about doing good things, being rewarded, and bad things happening because bad things, we've done bad things. None of that falls under the rubric of Teva. It's all in Nase. And it's obvious, and that's editorial mention. That's more or less the main point of Ramban. So Ramban says over here a fundamental point in how we look at Nisim in the Torah. Those that are mentioned beforehand are something's made of it. The Torah talks about it, and those that happen without having been spoken of beforehand, and nothing is not made a big deal about. The Chazal enlighten us. I would like to try and to explain this a little more on two levels. On the significance of this. Why is it like that? What is it? The first point is, and I think this is important in terms of Emuna, that when a person comes along and we come along with the incredible, the unusual, and we make a big deal about it, that it's a nace, it's whatever it is. There's a trick over there. There's something there that is sometimes used, it's actually flipped around against us. If somebody were to ask you, I don't have any idea of the license plate number of the car that brought me, but if somebody says, what's the chance that today there would be a license plate with this number here? It would be in the thousands, not tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, or whatever it is. So is that a nace? If somebody wins a lottery, is that a nace? The answer is, whenever you have a large group of people, you have a curve that defines the probability of something happening. There's a huge amount in the middle, and as you move towards the extremes, you get less and less. But there's always a fluke. There's always the odds and ends of the person who's extraordinarily tall, this person extraordinarily short. Something extraordinary is not a nace. It's not a nace logically, really. So you know that something happened to somebody at some point. You know, the unusual is somewhat usual in the natural world. And that's why when you start bringing riots, what are the chances that Israel would survive and so on and so forth? You know, small country. Yes, they're incredible, but incredible things have happened. And you know, you fellows left the common market, and we elected a president that everyone said wouldn't work, and it happened. So yes, these things happen. So on a level, but when somebody comes along and says beforehand what's going to happen, raya, but it becomes meaningful. If somebody would come yesterday and say there'd be a car at that number parked, wow, that's something. In other words, it takes it out of the realm of the fluke and the unusual and makes it something that is meaningful. It's indicating something and so on. That is one understanding of Ramban on a Pashtun level. There's a second. I think this goes more to the heart of what Ramban is saying. What is the point of having Nisim in the Torah? What are we trying to say about the Ribbono Shel Olam? So what we're talking about Emunah, so we're showing because Rosh can do the unimaginable, the unthinkable, the great, and so on and so forth. But the Torah is more than that. It's Torah's emes. It's telling me things. So if it's telling me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nes, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who made the teva to start with, then what are we saying? What is this telling me about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So, yes, on a simple level, Nisim are there to convince the unbelieving and to be mechazik the believing. But that's like a Kira project. That's not Torah's emes. That's not Torah. So what is it? So the answer is the word nes means, and the Rambam insists very strongly in the book that that's the meaning of the word nes. Nes doesn't mean primarily miraculous. The root of the word is not. The word nes means a banner. It's some sort of statement that's being made, that's being held up. And the Rambam learns like that's the pshat nisoyon. And nisoyon is a statement of a person. And when he's saying something that is, when he's doing something which is incredible. A nes is a statement by a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Normally, in when you have a blizzard of speech, everybody's speech gets lost in the general din. When you hold up a banner aloft, that's when you have a statement being projected. This is the big billboard sign that's projecting outwards. So whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a nes, that nes is a statement. It's almost like, and the fact that it's unusual, a nes, it's not the teva, means as follows. Just like we get used to noises that are coming, and sights that are coming, and it's when the unusual happens that we sit up and take notice. That's how we're built. That's why somebody living next to a noisy place, just that noisy just doesn't register. And when the world of teva, by definition, doesn't register. Our faculties are not meant to register teva because that's the norm. That's the default setting. When the unusual happens, that's when it registers. Now, when the unusual happens, if there's no statement or message to it, or maybe qualified, no statement or message that we can discern, then for all practical purposes, it's meaningless. In other words, it's not something that is in any way meaningful for us. If you're wandering around an office building, a hotel room, something or other, a hotel building. So the places that you're meant to go have a very big sign. Dining hall, health club, this, that. When you go to a door that's unmarked, it basically means keep out of there. Whether it says keep out of there or not, if it doesn't have, it's not marked and it looks inside kind of just a mess, then it's not for you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Bria has the workings, he has the machinery going, and then he has the messages that are sent to us. The messages tend to have two characteristics. One is that they're unusual, they're like a flash, you know, they flash out, you know, and to get our attention. And they mean something. They say something. There's some sort of description of it that's sent to us. Those are the two hallmarks of the message. So the Ramban says, Nisim do not need to be, Nisim are not noticed at all unless they come with a message. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the word nes versus teva, I mean, to create a nature which attracts masses, and then to have something that pulls away, there's no chiddush in the karma, kasava, the hodamai karma. There's no chiddush in either one of the two. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu flashes something, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a nes that's unusual, it's there as a message. And the condition for that is that we're told about it. And unless we're told about it, it doesn't mean anything. There's a pasuk in Amos. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do anything kim gila soidei la'avodav ha'neviyim. Kadosh Hashem kim dava kim gila soidei la'avodav ha'neviyim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals everything to neviyim. Is that so? Do neviyim know everything? Actually, the Rishonim speak about Yaakov not knowing Yosef, that Navi doesn't always have to know something. But what it does say is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not doing something in the sense that we cannot define it in any way that is meaningful unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu is given a caption of words. The Navi is somebody that has words, and that caption is what becomes the meaning of that event. I want to, so there are really three areas I would like to apply it to. The first one is when you're sitting and learning Torah, and it's something that even it's something logical even on a secular level. A person, when you're writing the history of a place, of a country, of a person, of something, and you allow yourself a dozen volumes, if you have the grants for it and the money to publish it, and you allow yourself a dozen volumes, then how significant are the pieces there? Maybe not, I don't know. If, let's say, someone has to write a biography of 2 pages about somebody who was a major figure in history. So if you're a kid, you find the first 10 things you can see and paste them in, and that's the history. You know, he was born this, he liked cigars, but if somebody's a bardas, somebody's writing for an encyclopedia, you expect that if it's a page worth of information, every line is going to count as being very significant. That's seichelik, that's bardas. Parashas Sefer Breishis. The Parashah of Breishis is itself takes you 1,000 years down the pipe. The one parasha. How much information do we have there? Very, very, very little. Going to the office. Avraham Avinu lived a very long time, 175 years. How many stories about Avraham do we have here? 12 stories, maybe. The Chumash without the Midrashim. So when Chazal darshan, in other words, we have it wrong. We say Chazal darshaning seems, quote unquote, unnatural. Seems it's forcing things into it, and so on and so forth. It's the other way around. Avraham Avinu is a cornerstone of Klal Yisrael, and we have 12 stories about Avraham Avinu. That's it. What happens all the other time? The terrace is that Chazal, that the Pasuk condensed it, and we must be able to tease out from the words every meaning of it. The Torah is not a recording of events that happened, it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu speaking to us. That's what the Ramban says. And that's why this whole Nesmet Yerav Zad mentioned, Kadosh Baruch Hu wasn't particularly talking to us. So the first point is that every word must be understood as being saying something. And it's something that the darshaning is simply focusing our attention and our awareness on things that need to be said. That's one episode of Ramban in terms of applying it. There's a second important episode. And let's apply it to something which is relevant to us day in, day out. When we talk about the meaning of brachas, so we understand when it comes to Berachas Hanenin, it's quite easy, so to speak, to make a case for how important Berachas Hanenin are. We tell a person, listen, you're eating an apple, if an apple comes to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, gave it to you, and you need to thank the Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's not quite the definition of bracha. Or more than anything else, we recognize and are aware that the person sensitizes himself and looks at an apple. its colors, its odor, its quality of filling a person, and all of that, we gain emunah from that, and so on. And that's something that everyone understands, and it's pashut, and so on. When it comes to mitzvahs, berachas ha-mitzvah, well, it's certainly not the same effect as berachas ha-nenin, because berachas ha-nenin is from the apple, we learn emunah. By making a bracha on it, we sensitize ourselves, and we sort of are able to inherit, we're able to feel it in the fruit if we make the bracha kapara. Well, what about berachas ha-mitzvah? What's the point of that? And the answer is, berachas ha-mitzvah is really the other way around. I once heard from Shapiro Shmuel that you know, it says over lasiyosam, that really the bracha should have been afterwards, because that's when we have the sense of the mitzvah, and they moved the brachas beforehand. It was something that sort of Chazal specifically placed beforehand. Because I think that berachas ha-mitzvah is the other way around. Unless we say a few words before the actions that we do, we don't give it its full meaning. We put on talis and tefillin almost by rote. I mean, it's just part of the getting up in the morning. You know, I don't know how people can sleepwalk, but sleep putting on talis and tefillin is natural for us. That's not a problem. When we make a bracha beforehand, the act that we're doing is a meaningful act. It invests a lot more meaning. Just like what Ramban says over here, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a nes, there's a big difference if he spoke beforehand or didn't speak beforehand in terms of whether it speaks to us or not. This is a very important part of it. So berachas ha-mitzvahs give us that sense of it. Those people that are Musasfar, the Siddurim, they have yiratzins for everything that came about very late. Yiratzins are, in, you know, most of them, the vast majority come from the kufa of the Mikubalim Rebbes. Hanover, this is where a lot of the Yiratzins come from, the Shayatziyim. It's very late. The point of it is to help you focus on what you're doing. Because a maisa has in itself the qualities of a speech. It's like to capture a picture. Someone shows you a picture without telling what it is. It's usually very annoying. You read a newspaper, sometimes they have a caption missing. And you, so what are they trying to show here? When you do a mitzvah and you say a berachas ha-mitzvah beforehand, it's focusing you. When you say the yiratzin beforehand, it's giving you a sense of what I'm doing. If a person even thinks words, somebody's parent asks them to do something. So you do it, because we're trained and we do it, and that's it. If a person beforehand thinks the words for a minute, I'm now going to do one of the biggest mitzvahs in the Torah, to give my father and mother the honor they deserve, because they're the root where I come from, and this is my shorish. This is what the Torah says. A person would think the words give meaning to actions. And finally, a third area, and this is a little more sensitive, maybe a little more tread gingerly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, many things happen, events happen, some extremely good, and some unfortunately less so. And so there are people that don't, you know, everything is tefa and so on and so forth, and they leave it as that. There's also an industry of people who this happened because this, that because this, that because that. And you ask yourself, so are they Nevi'im? Like is Gila Avodah Nevi'im? What exactly are we supposed to make of it? So the answer is, we do have a speech describing it. And that speech is called Hazinu. And Hazinu is Vaz Hashem Yomahu, and it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu saying that when we do good, the good happens. When we veer, the bad happens. We say the Krishna, the Vishama. We don't say more than that. And that's a very, in other words, we have, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did speak. He spoke in Vayim Shema, he spoke in Hazinu. Those are the two statements that are important for us to apply. Those are the only two statements we really have. And more than that is not necessary. And again, you know, everyone has his own people that he feels that they're getting, they have a direct line to Tvar Hashem. Yeah, this WhatsApp group. But in terms of understanding, yes, it's very, very maddening and it's very frustrating when we don't have clarity. And many things happen that are puzzling and difficult and sometimes even good, but they're also incredibly, it's hard to know what to make of it. So we need to understand Akash, the part of the reason why it is so difficult because when Akash did speak. He spoke twice, major times, and you know, just the rooms. But we don't. All he said was basically the line he drew was when there's halachas, halachas tainus, when things that are difficult happen, and we're supposed to do something in terms of tshuva nachna. I want to add something. I guess it's a pet peeve or whatever. The Rambam in Hilchis Tainis, it's not Rambam, it's a Gemara. The Rambam brings it to the Gemara. Gives a schedule for what you're supposed to do on the Tainis. So when something difficult happens, you declare a Tainis, there's a Seder Tefillah, and then it says the Zkenim get together and they make and they fix things in the city. It doesn't say that they look at what happens and learn all sorts of things from what happened. They look at what the city, if they feel that the town needs chizuk lashon hara, they don't say, well, if the plague came about because wolves are attacking, that's one of the things, or something like that, well, what does that do with wolves? I don't know. Akadosh Baruch Hu hasn't spoken to us, unfortunately. We don't have a Navi, and it was sorely lacking. Yes, it's missing. But Akadosh Baruch Hu did say that, you know, shuvu b'dacheichem, that's what you're supposed to do. So the tikkun that is Kfi HaKadosh Baruch Hu's statement, which is to stick to the good, to rechaz the good, and to move away from the bad. Kapanim, just summing up in a minute. So we have here a very important yisod in what the Torah teaches us and tells us. The world of nisim is not there to prove how magnificent HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, because it's irrelevant. If you believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, then the nes and created the world is one and the same. Tev and Hefter is one and the same. And therefore, Torah itself is HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking and telling us about things. A nes with a description is a message to us that we can't ignore. And that's why the significance are those nisim that something's been mentioned about. We said two or three in Yad about it. One is that even from a secular type of view, things that are unusual, extraordinary, in themselves don't say anything unless you predict it in advance, in which case it becomes very significant. Science is proven not by theories, but by predictable events. The second thing, and the more important thing, is Torah is a sefer of teaching. Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks us a certain way. And that's why we always need to apply to the incredible and the unusual events make us significant when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has spoken to us. And the message should be open to when the prophet is back in the PM, and we know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says and HaKadosh Baruch Hu means.
Just following on from yesterday's message, we'll do a collection of sponsoring next week's term.